Thank you, Pastor Corey.
You're welcome.
You know, this is a little intimidating to have Pastor Chris's book here. I'm just going to flip that over. I'm blocking it from here, but thanks for pointing that out. I had noticed. You guys, you know how I knew I was back in Manning? My squeak, the squeaky floor, because I'm a rocker when I worship, probably from having to hold babies for so long with my four kids. And I went, oh, my squeak's back. And I moved over here. Oh, that's right. It continues. So I wasn't doing a line dance. I was trying to get out of the squeak so I didn't disturb everybody else going, God, is that you? It is so good to be back here with all of you. I'm just so happy to see you all again. And I bring you greetings from my husband, even though most of you have never met him. He has met quite a few of you. But when I was here last in October, it probably took me 2 weeks to stop talking about this trip. Did I tell you about this that happened? No, honey, you didn't. You would love these people. So I'm just flipping pages here. Let me get to my notes. This isn't good. This is like exactly the perfect height. I'll be like, so anyway, the Holy Spirit hits and I'll just slide. So a couple things come to mind. I want you to know my husband, God bless him. He gets up in the morning. I'm already out in the kitchen with my coffee and I'm waiting for him to come so I can start talking to him. Can I tell you about my dream? He's like, can I get my coffee first? I'm like, you drink decaf. What difference does it make? He said, it just makes me feel good to know that I've got this. So he was, because he's a chef and he's been in the restaurant industry his whole life, for me to come home and tell him about the tremendous hospitality of this church, he was thrilled. I told him about all the places you took us to for meals and the wonderful hospitality we had at so many houses here. It just touched me because you know what? You don't get that everywhere, especially when it's your first time. Some people aren't that gifted with hospitality. So I felt like I was coming home to family. So it's so good. And I didn't realize I'd be back so soon, and I'm so glad. So I'll be down in Grand Prairie on Friday. We're doing a women's conference there for Friday and Saturday. So I don't know. You know, we were talking about it. I drive 4 hours to watch one of my grandkids play a Little League baseball game and get in the car and drive back home for 4 hours. So 3 hours to come hang out with us, that's nothing, right? And I'm told you guys go down there to shop. Right? That you have to go down there. So just save it up and come visit and I'll go shopping with you. Hopefully Robert's not watching this because he'll start cutting off the credit cards immediately. When Pastor Corey said, does somebody have something from the Lord? This happens a lot where you sit there and go, I was kind of thinking I did, but I don't know if I want to step out and say it. And what if it's not? And what if I miss it and I'm going to look like an idiot? I feel pretty confident in saying you're in a safe place. And as long as you're not admonishing the church, because when it's a moment like that, God's just speaking love and grace to all of us. Just step, open your mouth and try it. Even if your words are, God loves you. That's good. That lifts us all up. But most of the time, if you'll just open your mouth and step out, the rest of it will come. So I have a feeling somebody here tonight is going to come up to Pastor Corey and go, you know what, that was me. I didn't want to say anything, but I did have something from God. So is this a safe place for that? Yeah, that's what I thought. Just step out. Trust that it's God. I don't think the enemy would be giving you some word of encouragement for us all. So you're safe if you go with that. So As God often does with me, I have a message. I've been praying about this since the invitation came and asking God what he wanted to be said tonight. And I trust God that when I open my mouth, and I'm sure sometimes he's like, that wasn't for me. But for the most part, it's, you know how Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say? And we're like Jesus, so we need to keep our focus on hearing that from him, right? So this afternoon, he decided it would be good to change things up a little bit, not do the message that I had planned. But the great thing was my daughter had called me. She's a full-time minister, and I think we talked about her before. We want to get her up here, and we tried for this trip. It just didn't work. But she called me and said, Mama, because we're from Kentucky, Mama, I'm praying for you for these meetings. You're on assignment. And I said, yeah, I am, because this is the busiest time for me to get on a plane and come to Canada for a week. In a week and a half, I have Didier. Didn't Didier come here? Yeah, and he didn't see the moose, but I did. Yeah, I called him and told him. I know that's how sweet Christ-like I am. I called him. Heard you didn't see a moose. Guess how many I saw. And bless his heart, he went, well, that's great, Gene. That's really great. But in a week and a half, he's coming to New York to do a conference for a week. And so I'm in the throes of planning that. And then family vacation comes up. But I knew when the invitation came that I was supposed to be here. And so when Jennifer reminded me of that assignment, I felt this leading of the Lord to put aside the message that I planned, and he gave me this one. So I want you all to pray with me now. Father, I bring this word before you, and I declare, Lord, that you are giving me words to speak, your message to all of us tonight. You minister to everyone seated, and you minister to me. You minister to the sound booth. You minister to all of us that are listening to this. Father, I just lay this out before you, and I trust you completely to speak through me. And I thank you, Father. And as a wise woman has said, we give you permission, if necessary, change the landscape of our hearts. Speak to us, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as a mom, I feel like a lot of you can connect with this, but as a mom, one of my favorite things is when one of my kids, and our kids are all 35 to 40-something, I'm not telling my age by giving that away, but 40-something. And we have 8 grandkids, and 3 of our 4 kids are married. I love when my kids do something and I go, wow, that is so my dad. Or, boy, I really see my brother or me in one of my grandkids. We had this wonderful time years ago in Kentucky. We had all gone back because we were living in New York. We'd all gone back to Kentucky to visit my mom and dad. My kids were home from college, and they came down there. And we all decided we were going to go out. Instead of my mom fixing something, we were going to go. I don't know if y'all have Bob Evans. Okay. It's a chain restaurant, famous for breakfast food, but they just do a lot of comfort food. And there were probably 20-something of us that went into this restaurant. We said, we're just going to get dessert and something to drink. So as we walked in the door, my son Gabriel went into the restroom. So we all go and sit down. Somebody looked at my dad and said, well, what are you having? And my dad had a bit of a belly, and he said, I'm going to have me a piece of apple pie and a big old glass of milk. We're like, all right, Dad, you know just what you want. A couple minutes later, here comes my son, Gabe. He sits down. His brother goes, Gabe, what are you having? He goes, I tell you what, I want a piece of apple pie and a big old glass of milk. And everybody at the table went, wow. Wow. Did you see him do that? He's like, what? Never mind. He's so much like my dad. And it blesses me because my dad's in heaven now. And I love to be around my son, Gabe, because he's just like my dad, saying the most incorrect things at the worst time. And my dad would go, what? Did I do it again? What did I do? You know, he was famous. All right, one baseball story for the guys so I don't lose you. So he was famous for this kind of stuff. But we're at the kids' baseball game, and it was a private Christian school, so the league didn't have, like, giant athletes. You know, it wasn't heading to a Division I school. This little guy gets up. My kids were 9th and 10th grade, and this little guy gets up. Must have been a 7th grader. Tiny. He gets up to the plate, and my son's pitching. And my dad, sitting in the stands, and the school was so small, we had one bleacher with like four rows. That was it. We didn't have home and away. We had one bleacher. And my dad says, oh boy, look at him. Go ahead, throw anything, Robert. He's so scared, he's not going to hit anything. Just before I could say, Dad, the woman behind us said, don't listen to him, Tommy. You can hit this ball. Like, and my dad said, well, wouldn't it figure that the kid's mom would be right behind me? I'm like, you're going to have to go to the car. You're saying the wrong thing again. What did I do now? And that's my son, Gabe. He likes to do things like that, too. So what I like about it is there are things in us that are in our kids, right, and in our grandkids. Before I became a Tryngale, I was a Burkhart. And I knew what being a Burkhart was. It was having this crazy father of mine, and everybody in town knew him. And here I meet this guy from New York. He knows nothing about the Burkharts, and I have to tell him all about who we are. Then I become a Tryngale, and I couldn't wait to just grill him about his family and everything they did. I just wanted to know everything about it. And I remembered him and I talking about this, about how we're going to raise our kids a certain way. And at one point, when one of my sons, I won't say who, got a little older, and he was about to mess up, not make a good decision, his sister called him on the phone when she heard about it and said, hey, we don't do that. We're Tryngales. We don't do that. And he, just his sister calling and setting him back on the right way of thinking of who he was, he said, you're right. And he didn't go down that path. And it was a good thing. I was absolutely thrilled. I'm like, I didn't even have to get involved. All I had to do was raise them the right way, and she stood up to it. So he got himself back into right thinking. So we're going to focus on who we are. All right. Now, I look like Jesus, right? Don't we all? We're the mirror image. So as Corey said, that Bible is 5 pounds. I love that Bible. I couldn't fit it in my suitcase. And if you want one of those Bibles, I have 5 cases in my garage at home, and I send them out for Francois all over the country and to Canada, where it's only $60 to ship from my house to Canada. So I was trying to bring them for you guys, and my sweet daughter called and said, God told me I'm to sow a seed in Canada from my ministry. I said, okay, so what are you saying? She said, you find out who wants a Bible, and I'm covering the shipping from New York to Canada, and we'll just ship a bunch up here. So she hasn't even met you all, and she's sowing seed into this place already. So I don't like looking down at my phone, because if I get a text from a grandchild, I'm going to stop and read it. So I like to use my Bible so I don't get like, what was that? They hit a what ball? Yeah. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So bear with me while I scroll. I like pages. I like all these apps, but I like doing this. And I like writing down, and I like highlighting and adding notes, and I can't do that on these. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now, you're going to look in your Bibles, unless you have the mirror Bible. You're going to think I'm in the wrong place. But are you all familiar with the mirror Bible? So Francois du Toit in South Africa, not too far from where, I don't remember where, Cape Town maybe, but he's kind of in the middle of nowhere on this beautiful safari land, and he's pretty much sequestered himself there to do this translation of this Bible. And he happened to make a trip to New York last year, and his wife said, he will spend sometimes 2 weeks on one word, just studying the true original meaning. So when you hear this, you're going to look at something different in yours, but try to take in what this mirror Bible says. So 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now we all, with new understanding, see ourselves in him as in a mirror. The days of window shopping are over. In him, every face is unveiled. In gazing with wonder at the likeness of Elohim displayed in human form, we suddenly realize we're looking into a mirror where every feature of their image articulated in the Lord is reflected in us. The Spirit of the Lord engineers this radical endorsement of our authentic identity. From the fading glory of our own achievement to the discovery of the most amazing reality that we are God's glory. I'm amazed at this. So he studied this out. He brought it back to Isaiah 40, verse 5. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We've got our masks off, and God's brilliance is bouncing off our faces. We're glowing from knowing. I feel like, thank you all for coming. Just that part alone just blesses me and ministers to me. So are you glowing from knowing that you're the mirror image? Or do you look in the mirror and go, oh, well, I'm getting up there. Well, that line wasn't there yesterday. Well, I'm not as young and pretty as I used to be. I'm not whatever. Like we can look in the mirror and just look at flesh and our doubts can come up. But we're the mirror image. You can't put yourself down when you know that. You just can't, or you shouldn't, but you can't. So look at Genesis 1:26. It says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. The word icon translates as exact resemblance, image, and likeness. Icon, and maybe I'm mispronouncing that, E-I-K-O-N, always assumes a prototype, that which it not merely resembles, but from that which it is drawn. Amazing. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know this. I've told Robert if he was ever going to get a tattoo, it should be this, because he preaches it all the time. It's his favorite. So hang in there with me with this. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, right? Is that what your version says? Old things have passed away. Look, all things have become new. Everybody know that? Familiar with it? The mirror. Now, in light of your co-inclusion in his death and resurrection, whoever you thought you were before, in Christ, you're a brand new person. The old ways of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new. So we can walk around going, I know who I am in Christ. Boy, I've studied this. I know who I am. But you know the part that got me when I studied this was everyone else. The old ways of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. So we walk around going, excuse me, I know who I am in Christ and I don't have to put up with that. But guess what? You're the same and you're the same. So it should change how we look at each other and how we treat each other. If we're looking at each other the same way, you're made in his image too. It's not just me that got it, right? And I got to confess, there were times I'm like, well, God, I know what's going on, but man, is she a mess. Right? Am I the only one that's ever like gone through, I wish you'd do in her what you did in me. And God's going, well, you know what? That's your sister. Ugh. Okay. Mine's the only flesh that's burning, as my Assembly of God pastor used to say. I smell some flesh burning. So we have a lot of emphasis on who we are in Christ. We're taught that. I'm sure Pastor Corey's taught that many times. But that second part just gets me. Here's the thing. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And this is what God said to me about this. But you're not an only child. You have a whole great big family. So we need to look at each other as family, right? Okay. I want you to hear a little of this note that Francois wrote. Again, this was in verse 517. The last part. The old ways of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new. Just imagine this. So as he studies out these original meanings of all these words, he writes out all of his study notes. That's why this Bible's that thick. But man, is it good. Okay. Everyone died when Jesus died. Remember, we're not talking law language here. The if in if anyone is in Christ is not a condition. It's the conclusion of the revelation of the gospel. Mankind is in Christ by God's doing. The verses of 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 16 give context to verse 17. For so long we studied verse 17 on its own and interpreted the if as a condition. Paul didn't say, if anyone is in Christ. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. The therefore immediately includes verses 14 to 16. If God's faith sees everyone in Christ in his death, then they were certainly also in Christ in his resurrection. Jesus did not reveal a potential you. He revealed the truth about you. Now, have anybody else been there where you're like, man, if I can just do this, this, and this, I could be like Christ. He says, that's it. That's the truth about you. You can be free from that. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God did not redeem a compromised replica of you. He rescued the original blueprint you, created in his radiant mirror likeness. So you think about that. He created this amazing man, right? And Adam and Eve, bless their hearts, they messed up. But Jesus came back to redeem that. Not just to clean this mess up. He came back to redeem the original design of you. I always focused on the mess my life was in. Oh, thank God he redeemed me from all those things I did wrong. Now I can be a cleaned up Jean. No, that's not what it is. Oh, any other self you're trying to find or esteem will disappoint. your redeemed self, co-raised, co-seated together with Christ. This is freedom indeed. We are reconnected with our original Genesis through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This new birth endorses and celebrates the hope of the ages. God's eternal love dream concludes in life. Man, I'm just amazed about this. So, in 14, he said, the love of Christ constrains us and resonates within us, leaving us with only one conclusion. When Jesus died, every individual simultaneously died. In God's logic, one has died for all, thus all have died. Now, if all were included in his death, they were equally included in his resurrection. This unveiling of his love redefines human life. Whatever reference we could have of ourselves outside of our association with Christ is no longer relevant. So the fact that I was a Tringale or a Burkhart, that's not relevant, because now I'm the daughter of the Most High God. That's the important thing. And I love that my kids reflect that too. It takes care of so many issues that we deal with. It takes care of all the things that we think we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not whatever enough. But you're a new creature. It also stops that rat race, trying to work everything out. Anybody ever try to work out your salvation? Anybody think that's a good idea? Just to prove sometimes that you're worthy of what Jesus did on the cross. I'm going to show you how much I appreciate what you did, and I'm going to work myself half to death in church just to prove to you it wasn't for nothing, Jesus. Here I am, still loving people through all the stuff. That's, again, maybe it was just me who did that for years. Oh, but that's all works. So how do we do this? So let's look at Colossians 3:1 real quick. See yourself co-raised with Christ. Now ponder with persuasion the consequence of your co-inclusion in him. Relocate yourselves mentally. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities where you are co-seated with Christ in the executive authority of God's right hand. Wow. Verse 2, becoming affectionately acquainted with throne room thoughts will keep you from being distracted again by the earthly realm. So if you keep those thoughts of where you are, you're seated in heavenly places, that's going to help you stop all these other thoughts that come at you, that sometimes it's the enemy, sometimes it's just the lies we've believed. This stops it right here. Set your minds upon the things that are above and not upon the things below. Whatever you face in your daily lives, acquaint yourselves with a greater reality. The things that are above, do not engage the energy of the things that are below. So my husband has, he's got, you know how sometimes you're like, oh, okay, this is now live stream and Facebook, so I better be careful what I say, but I don't think any of them even know I'm here. So I can talk about it. So he's just got this consulting gig where it's a difficult thing every day. Every day comes home, and I can see it on him. And finally, we went, wait a minute. We forgot who you are for a minute. Just because you're in there working doesn't mean you're not this. You're not the person that we know you are in Christ. So we also have to know that when we walk into a room, the atmosphere changes. Not because we picked out a great outfit, because of who we're carrying in us. So everywhere we go. And God's really brought this to my attention. I was sharing with Robbie all the planes I was on yesterday. When I step onto that plane, I have my hand on it for a minute and I pray and declare over it that it's getting right where it needs to go with no delay, no problems, and the angels of God are carrying me and everybody on it right where it needs to be. And I just pray sometimes, I'm like, because people are behind you, and I'm like, just keeping my hand there until I'm done. And then I walk onto the plane, and most people these days, they're in their phone, they're not looking up, they're not engaging or making eye contact. But I'm telling you, every plane I was on yesterday, when I got on and I'm looking up going, how far back am I and where's my seat? People were like this, looking at me. Now, at first I went, I was in a hurry at 3 a.m. Did I put the shirt on backwards? What did I do? I'm looking down and God said, that's not what they're looking at. And I went, oh, that's right. I changed the atmosphere of this plane by walking on it, by praying over it. When you carry that up here in your thought process, it'll change your whole day. It'll change your whole life because you're not walking on there on a plane in fear or trying to push past and you're grumpy and you're in a hurry. You're carrying Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. You think you're not going to walk a little straighter, a little taller, smiling? I got no worries. I belong to God, right? It blessed me yesterday. Okay, so you got to change your thought life. You stop worrying, your priorities change. You don't get offended by stupid things. My husband used to say a long time ago, you know, I saw so-and-so at church and they didn't even say hi. And I went, what? He goes, they didn't even say hi. They were right there and they didn't even say hi. I said, so let me get this straight. You walked up and said, hi, Corey. And he goes, no. I go, did you say hi? No. So you didn't say hi either. They could be at home right now going, I walked by Robert. He didn't even say hi. I go, what are you saying? He goes, I don't know. Why would I think that? You're right. If I so desperately wanted a hello, I should have walked up and said, hello. I said, yeah, you should have. Instead of being offended. Because then, and one time he said something like, that's a third week in a row. I'm like, seriously? You're a very smart man. How could you not figure out what the problem is here? Bless his heart. He's not on Facebook, so he's not going to see this. So, and you're all going to keep quiet about it too when you meet him someday. He's too busy. You're not going to text him. I'll block your number. So he got past that, you know, and I would watch him then at church just greeting everybody. Hi, how are you? Hey, how are you? Robert, he's a sweetheart, but you know, you sometimes get that, you just get this bug in you from the enemy going, I'm just mad about something, and I might as well take it out on you, because you didn't greet me, you didn't give me a good enough hug, has nothing to do with the person, it's all the lies that we listen to from the enemy. So, you need to immerse yourself in who you are in Christ. Immerse yourself in it. I would start out by looking up every verse that says in him and just write it down. That'll give you a good idea of who you are in him. You'll begin to see Jesus in you. You'll have those new thoughts. Those old thoughts will pass away. You'll look at each other differently. You'll appreciate each other more. And you'll come to the realization that we're all unique expressions of our Father. We're all different. My four kids, I used to pray, God, I want them to be who you made them to be. I don't want cookie cutter children. I don't want four little kids that are exactly alike. I want them all to be different. And they have similarities, but they're all different. And I love that. I love that they're all different expressions of Jesus. So, what did Jesus say? He said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I do what I see my Father do. So that's a real good place to start. But how do we really start this? It's in a relationship with Him, right? Not the read through the Bible in a year, check that off, I did that. Oh, that should have earned me some good relationship points. Of course, read through your Bible, but that's not a relationship. Me leaving a list for my husband of what I need him to do for me is not a relationship. That I could hire somebody to do all that stuff, right? So if I have had some times where I thought, you know, Robert and I, we seem to be like two ships passing in the night for a couple weeks here, and we don't have any time, and he's in a hurry, and I'm in a hurry. And then I go, that's pretty much the way my relationship with God's been these last few weeks. It always shows up in my personal life. And when you make that a priority, it's not to get, it's just to spend time with Him and to talk to Him. And then do that women second most important part that our husbands know so well, which is to listen. I'm speaking prophetically here. We like to talk to God. We like to talk. We like to share our feelings. We like to share the news. It's how God made us. But we don't live by our feelings. So we need to speak to the Lord, pray in the Spirit, speak to God, and then sit in that quiet time and just listen. Not, I better read a chapter today. I better find out more about God. Yes, you have to get in the Word. Of course you do. It's where you find out a lot about Him. But such a big part of that relationship is just talking and listening and letting Him share with us what He wants to share about our day, about a plan that He has for us, about a part of us that He wants us to. You know, I want you to stop thinking this way, Jean, or I want you to stop saying this, Jean. I had, God talks to me all the time. Believe it or not, I'm quiet sometimes and I listen. So we have one of our sons who, for unknown reason, I still don't know to this day and I don't even care anymore, but just came in the house one day. And he was just, hey, Mom, where's Dad? I said, he's in his office. And I heard him going up the steps. Hey, Dad, I'm here. And I thought, he walked in and went, hey, Mom. So he's up there talking to my husband. And then it's time to leave. And he goes, okay, bye, Dad. I love you. Comes down the steps. I'm still in the kitchen. He goes, see ya. And walks out the door. I'm like, went right up the steps. Anthony upset about something? No, he was fine. Okay, he was just weird to me. No, he was fine. He was in a good mood. He was laughing. Next week he comes over. It's the same thing, but a little meaner, a little ruder. This went on for, I'm not kidding you, 9 months easy. I'm like, what did I do? So what do you do when something like that happens? You start calling everybody in the family. Hey, did Anthony tell you why he's upset with me? Because he was so mean and rude to me, and I have no idea why. And my kids were all like, no, Mom, we don't know. They came up, family vacation, it continued. The kids were going, wow, he's like really being mean and rude. I go, I don't know why. I have no idea what I did. So this went on for a solid 9 months or more. Did it the last time. I called my daughter. Okay, I've had it. He is so mean. He is so rude. Rehearse the whole thing. I said, what's going on? She goes, Mom, I don't know. I said, okay, all right. I'll talk to you later. Got off the phone and went, God, he is so mean and so rude to me. And God clearly said, so you've been saying. I went, yeah. For like 9 months now, he said, so you've been saying. I said, it's like every time he gets meaner. So you've been saying. And then it hit me. Then the light went off. And I thought, from the first time he did it, those were my words. He's so mean to me. He's so rude to me. I didn't do anything. When I heard that, I like ran back the tape in my head. I said, God, I know better than this. It's all I've been thinking about. He's so rude. He's so mean. I said, Lord, I'm getting my thinking straight. I'm getting to know the words I have to say about my son and about my relationship. So, Father, it's restored in Jesus' name. We're even better than we ever were before. And he's going to be just as sweet and kind as he ever was to me. And the enemy has to get his hands off our relationship. And I said it every time I used to think about how rude he was. I must have thought this and said it out loud a dozen times a day. I said, Lord, I'm leaving it with you. And 1 week went by and I got a text from my son. And he was married, and he said, hey, Rebecca and I are going to dinner tonight. We're wondering if you and Dad wanted to go. And I thought, dear Lord, it's an intervention in a public restaurant. What I said, sure, we'll go. We'll meet you there. Just tell me where and what time. So we went to dinner, and we had a pleasant dinner. And dinner was over, and nothing happened. And he said, well, thanks a lot for coming out and joining us for dinner. This was great. Good night. And he walked away. And Robert and I kind of walked going, like, waiting for the other shoe to drop. We got in the truck. I said, don't turn it all the way. Let's hear if there's a tick, 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 tick. So, too many spy movies, I think. He said, wow, that was a nice night. I said, you know, it really was. Before we got home, I had a text from my son. We really enjoyed ourselves tonight. You want to go next Wednesday? That's a good night for us. I said, yes, we do. Robert's like, calm down. Went the next week. He pulled up as we did. He got out, hugged me. Hey, Mom, you look nice tonight. Walked in, had dinner. I'd never brought it up. I was smart because men don't really like emotional outbursts. So I never said, how come you've been so mean to me? I just went, you know what, God, you healed that in me. Whatever it was, you've apparently healed it in him. I'm not going to go dig all that up. Why would I? He's going to probably say something that was a misconception of something that I said, or I'll get offended and hurt. So I'm just going to leave it there. Which is not the easiest thing for me to do. I'm the why person. I'll go do whatever, but why? And so I left it there. I just praised God for the relationship being restored. And about 2 months after that, they announced that they were expecting their first child. We have 7 other grandkids. They live out of state. And this was my first grandchild that was going to be 10 minutes from me. And I just went, God, thank you for showing me when you did. Because if that relationship hadn't been restored and I had a grandbaby in this town that I couldn't go see, I would just be devastated by it. But now he walks in the door with his little baby and he goes, here, Mom, and whips out his phone to take a picture the second I hold his child. And takes 15 while we're there. I got my words and my thoughts straight. And I remembered who I was. And I remembered, I don't talk like that. That's not who I am. So what I want to say to you tonight is, I believe we all go through times like this. But if God is bringing up some kind of, remember this thing? Or how about this area? You've been doing that there. You haven't been seeing other people. You know who you are in Christ, but you forgot, so is she. And I'm not just pointing to you. I have nothing against you. Right? Some of that stirring in you where you're going, that's exactly what I know that's me and what God wants me to get straightened out. So I'm not going to say, hey, if you've been in that place, come up and we'll pray, because I think that puts some people on the spot. So this is what I'm going to say. If you need prayer tonight in any area, I would love to pray for you. And then you can let me know if you have a specific need. But healed people heal people, right? Hurt people hurt people. So it's important to get healed if you've got any of that hanging over you and changing your day. You know, I started telling you about Robert's job when he came home. I didn't finish this. When he came home one day recently and just was dumping it all out, all of a sudden he went, I should not do this to you. All I'm doing is rehearsing all the horrible things that happened to me today. Instead, let's just get an agreement. Let's just know these people need prayer. And let's just get an agreement every day for these people that I'm working with, that God's going to set them free, that they see Jesus in me. And it changed his whole way. Right? And then he comes home and he said, a guy that he worked with, he said, you had a rough day yesterday. And he'd been witnessing to this man for about a year now. And he said, boy, I went home and I prayed for you. Robert goes, he wasn't even like, that's terrible reflection on me. He was like, so I got him praying. I'm like, well, God used it. God will make everything work out for our good. So, Father, we just thank you that you're so good to us, that you will nudge us, sometimes a little harder than others, but you nudge us, God, and you tell us this is that thing that you've been dealing with, just like Jean was talking about. This is that thing you've been dealing with. I think one of the things that helps me is when I find out I'm not alone. A lot of us think and feel the same way sometimes, so there's no condemnation in Christ. So if you've been walking through some of that, I want to pray for you. If you have a need in your body, I want to pray for you. I've told you all the healings I've experienced, so I want to pray for you for that. And this just came up. If you also want prayer over your finances, you just want a release, and that's probably tied up in your thoughts. You don't know who you are in Christ, or you don't stay aware of it, and all of a sudden it starts showing up in that area. So if you just want prayer for anything, I'm here to pray with you. I'm sure Corey and Jen will join me. Father, we thank you for the word that you brought to us. And we thank you, God. We thank you that you made us in your beautiful image. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're so grateful. We're so grateful, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for touching each one of us, God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us and your love towards us. You fill every need, God. You supply every need. Thank you, Father.